oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I have found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Let's all bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here together this morning to sing praises to you and hear your word be preached. Lord, fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit as he comes forward to preach the message that you laid on his heart. And Lord, we just ask you to give us all ears to hear and hearts to receive the message gladly, Lord. And we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're in Ezekiel chapter number 22. Look down at verse number 26. It says, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. The title of my sermon this morning is Some Things That Are Different Are the Same. Some things that are different are the same. I've been working on this for a while now. I've heard sermons in the past called Things That Are Different, you know, are not the same. There's a book out there about the King James Bible issue, and I think it's called Things That Are Different Are the Same. I believe I read that a long time ago, but this really has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with those other sermons I've heard in the past. I just kind of, you know, thinking about the title, you know, there's a lot of things out there in life that appear to be different, but in reality, they are the same, or at least will lead you down the same path. And so, really, this whole sermon that I'm preaching this morning is based off of this verse. We're going to break this down. But before I do that, I just want to kind of give you the point of this sermon. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 talks about the situation where Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, because God gave him that wisdom, obviously, he was asked, you know, by God, you know, what is your petition? What would you like to have from me? And here's what his response was. He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? So he says that I may discern between good and bad. Why would somebody ask that? Well, one, he asked that because he obviously understood the importance and how many people there were and the issues that come up in leadership. But two, because the differences between good and bad are not always easily seen, right? That's why he asked that. He understood that even before getting that full boat of wisdom from God. And so that's really the whole point of this sermon, is to be able to recognize things that say they're different but really are not. They're really just the same thing, okay? So if you would, turn to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. While you turn there, I'm just going to finish reading Ezekiel 22, 26, where it says, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. We spend a lot of time talking about holy. What does that mean, holiness? But we don't always talk about what profane means. So we're just going to kind of go through a quick overview of what those two things are. So you probably understood, you've heard me say this for the last year, that holy means separated, right? To be separate, to be distinct. That's what it means in a nutshell. Now, what I want to show you here is how holy the Bible says that God is. Exodus chapter 3, look at verse number 5. It says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. So the first thing you need to understand is we serve a holy God, right? A separate, distinct, holy God who is uniquely holy with no rivals and no competition, right? And the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, but the world today, including all, you know, faux religions, if you will, you know, they try to bring Christ, they try to bring God down to our level. They try to make him common with man because they've neglected to understand this concept that he is holy and that we are to be holy as well. Okay, this is very important. So when, you know, Moses is at the burning bush, he's there, you know, he's like, what is this sight? You know, and he walks over there, God tells him, hey, you know, even though I'm not physically standing there in front of you, where you're standing is holy ground. So take your shoes off. Right? He's trying to communicate the sense of urgency to Moses. He's trying to get him to understand, hey, this isn't a joke. This isn't a game. This is real. This is the real deal here. Okay? I am holy. You know, if you were to walk up to Buddha or some other false god, they wouldn't tell you that because they know that they're rotten to the core. Okay? You know, Jim Jones would have told you the same thing. Any one of these cult leaders out there that tries to profess that they're a god or that they're some kind of deity, I'm going to tell you to take off your shoes because where you stand is holy ground. And if they do, you need to run the other way. Okay, so the first thing I want you to understand about holy, not just that it means separate, but the God that we serve is holy. And his desire is that we would be holy. But I'll tell you what, after you get saved, you know, the quest to be sanctified and to build up the new man, it takes discernment. It really does. It takes discernment. And so that's what this sermon's about. Turn to Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter number 15. So the first thing that I just want you to understand is that this means that God is uniquely holy with no rivals, no competition. No one else can even come close. All the gods that man has concocted and made up, they all wind up falling flat on their face, just like Dagon did in 1 Samuel. Okay? So the second verse I want you to look at is Exodus 15. Look at verse number 11. It says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Turn to Psalm chapter 145. Psalm chapter 145. While you're turning there, I'm just going to read for you Mark chapter 1, verse 24, which says this. It says, "Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou art come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." So even in the Bible, you can see that demons understand how holy God is. They understood when they saw Jesus that he was the Holy One. Okay, they understood that. Why? Because he's separate. He's distinct. He's unique. He's unlike any other entity that man has created. You know, the Bible says this, just provides this concept over and over and over again, that God is holy, right? Completely separate. We get that. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but you're there in Psalm chapter 145. Look at verse 17. It says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." So anytime you're reading the Bible and God makes a judgment, he makes a standard, he makes some kind of a decree, you need to understand that that is righteous. Even though we don't always, you know, see and understand it, you know, right off the bat, you might read a story in the Bible and be like, why did God do that? Why did God tell them to go kill all the Canaanites? Why did God do this? You know, it's not the problem's not with God, it's with our understanding, okay? Because the Bible says right here that he's righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works. So when he blew up Sodom and Gomorrah, guess what? That was a righteous, holy act. When God, you know, commended Asa for getting the Sodomites out of the land, guess what? That was a righteous and holy thing. But the world looks at that today and they say, well, that's not very nice. That's not really God, blah, blah, blah. And they want to just brush that under the rug and try to play that off somehow. Well, that's just how it was back then. No, really, you don't understand the difference between the holy and the profane. That's what it boils down to. And what does God say constantly to his people throughout the Bible? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, so go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. The second thing that I want you to see about this concept of being holy, and like I said, I'm going to go through this kind of quick because we've spent a lot of time on the subject of holy throughout the year, is this. God's expectations for believers is to be separate from the world and to be holy like he is. That's his expectation. Why? Well, what other expectation would a holy God have than to have his people be just like him? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 11. It says, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Verse 13, it says, "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." I think it's very clear here in verse 13 what the standard is for God's people, for Bible-believing Christians. It says, "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God." Okay? Now, obviously, we understand salvation, free gift, right? But after that, you know, we should, as God's people, continuously strive and work to be holy. And like I said before, you will not be able to do that if you lack understanding, if you lack discernment. We need to be able to discern the differences that are in the world. Why? Because there's many false prophets that have gone out there and they bring forth different ideas and concepts that sound similar, but in reality, they are different. Okay? And so that, like I said, that's the point of the sermon. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. While you're turning there, I'm just going to read Proverbs 9:10, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So it is vitally important that we gain more and more knowledge of the holy. Why? Because that is understanding. The more that you learn about God, the more understanding you're going to have, the better you will be able to discern between the holy and the profane. Because it's not always just black and white. It's not always just cut and dry, right? You're going to wind up gaining friends in this movement. And you know what? You know, you need to be able to have some discernment, because there's a lot of people out there that come in here, they want to act like us, they want to look like us, but really, they're not like us. They're different. They have a motive. Now, luckily, you know, we've been through that several times this year, and you guys are to the point to where you can pretty much smell them in the parking lot, which, you know, I'm thankful for that, you know, praise God for that. But let's not lose that, right? Let's keep that going, and let's build upon that, because it just doesn't stop there, right? It doesn't stop there. There's all sorts of avenues that these people like to creep in and you know, cause havoc and so on and so forth. And so, what we're going to talk about next here is this idea of profane. What does that mean? What does profane mean? If you look up in the dictionary, it'll say something like this. To violate anything sacred or to treat with abusive or irreverent contempt. As to profane the name of God, to profane the Sabbath, to profane the scriptures or the ordinances of God. Basically, from reading in the Bible, you'll see that profane is the opposite of holy. Now, the world will tell you, well, you know, profane is just profanity. It's just saying the F word or, you know, saying some kind of a cuss word. You know, and that is not holy communication. Right? And if you haven't listened to the Christian rap sermon, you should, because I talked about this briefly. But there's a Christian rapper who's very popular. His name's Andy Mineo. The guy's a cluck. And he's getting mad at all these Christians on Twitter and stuff, these other rappers, right? And he's getting after them for using profanity, for cussing, okay? But meanwhile, he's promoting sodomites.
Right.
I mean, that's a problem. There is a man who, by the way, he's a deacon in a church. Okay, so there you go. You have a man who's got his priorities all messed up regarding the profane, regarding profanity. You see, profanity is not just saying four-letter words, okay? I'd rather work side by side and go soul winning with somebody who has a problem saying cuss words than somebody who promotes sodomites
right. Any
day of the week.
Right.
And you say, well, how did you get to that level? Just from reading the Bible, just from hearing good Bible-believing preaching. That's how I got to that level. I mean, do you really think that God's going to hold a cuss word above promoting sodomites? You're crazy. What city, what nation has he destroyed for saying cuss words? Okay, right? But what's the one sin that makes the earth vomit, the Bible says? Well, it's the sodomy. It's the sodomites, right? It's clearly, so what I'm trying to tell you is there's clearly an order to this. Not all sins equal. Not all of that stuff is true. But the world would like to have you focus on that. And I know tons of Christians, and I'm thinking of some right now, you know, I've never cussed, and I'm not advocating that you start cussing, okay? But I'm just simply saying, you know, that's their big thing. That's what they judge everyone on. Well, I don't think this person's saved because I heard him use the F word. I don't think this person's saved because I saw him drinking a beer. You know, that's profanity. That's profane. But at the same time, they've got no problem watching porn. They've got no problem watching rated R movies. They've got no problem, you know, treating their families like absolute garbage. But you better not say a cuss word. Oh, I don't cuss. You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like a Pharisee. It sounds like a Sadducee. Somebody who has no concept of biblical truth. That's what that is.
Right.
You know, so as believers, we need to have our priorities set straight by God's word regarding what is profane and what is not.
Yeah.
Everybody understand what I'm trying to say here?
Okay.
Let's not ever become like a people, let's police everybody's language here because that's the most important thing. That's ridiculous. That's just going to come natural by serving God, okay? Well, I think we all understand, you know, knocking on people's doors and, you know, the first thing out of your mouth is bleep this. Bleep. You're not going to really, you know, signify to people that you're a Christian that way,
right.
You know? We get that, okay? But you know what? Going around telling people that God loves the queers and we should just bring them all in here to serve and they've got just as much, you know, there's no difference between their sin and your sin. We're all sinners. You know, going around preaching that and saying that that's okay. I mean, that's a wicked doctrine.
Yeah.
That is completely backwards. And that's what Satan does. He turns truth around on its head, right? He does things in opposites. But he does it very cleverly too, right? And that's why we need to have discernment. We need to understand to discern differences because they're not always the same. So you're there in Leviticus chapter 19. I just want to go over some verses about what does it mean to be profane. So look at verse number 12, Leviticus 19, verse 12. It says, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Right? So what's worse, stubbing your toe and saying the SH word or profaning and blaspheming the name of God? Obviously, you can see it's blaspheming the name of God. It's bringing his name common with ours. This is why I don't like these t-shirts that say, "Jesus is my homie. You know, me and him are one team." You know, just trying to make him common to man, right? If God told Moses to remove his shoes at the burning bush because the ground where he stood was holy, you know, we need to have that same mentality when we talk and speak about the things of God.
Right.
We need to remove our filthiness too, which is anything that is common to man, not make him like unto us because he's not. He's separate. He's holy. Now, our new man's holy, right? But we, as human beings, we're not holy of our own selves, okay? And we need to treat God like that. So I've just got three statements about profanity that I want to go through with you real quick. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The first thing I want to show you is the problem with the profane. Well, the problem with profanity, okay? And I'm not just talking about four-letter words. I'm talking about anything that is profane, profanity in general, okay? So the first thing I want you to see here is the problem with the profane. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 16. It says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Now what is that? What's a vain babbling? Well, it's just something that just some jargon, just, you know, you could probably chalk this up to a sitcom, like the Jerry Seinfeld show. That is a profane and vain babbling. That's 30 minutes of just profane and vain babbling. Is anything in those shows remotely Christian?
No way.
Remotely going to give you any kind of knowledge or wisdom? No, not at all. We're supposed to shun things like that. Why? Because it's profane. And why? Because it will increase unto more and more ungodliness. Show me a church that endorses this stuff and I'll show you a church filled with ungodly people. And you say, well, we're saved by grace through faith. Amen, we are. Right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about discipleship. I'm talking about fellowship with Christ. I'm talking about enhancing our relationship with Christ so that we can finish the race which is set before us. Right? And we as Bible-believing Christians are to shun profane and vain babblings. This is Hollywood. No person should ever go to the movie theater and set your children down in front of a Disney movie. Did you know that? That is profane and vain. To say the least. To say the very least. That is profane and vain. You know these people at your job sites that wanted, hey, let me tell you this joke, right? Let me tell you this joke about fornication or about adultery or about something that's profane and vain. No, we're supposed to shun that. To be like, no, I'm good. I really don't want to hear. Obviously, you want to try to keep the peace, but you don't want to endorse that kind of behavior. Why? Because it will lead unto more and more and more ungodliness. That's why, right? The same with songs. We talked about the Song of Fools not too long ago. Right? We're supposed to shun that garbage. And look, there are people that have come to this church that are no longer here. You know, they would just talk behind my back about this sort of stuff. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Where are they today? They're gone. Why? Because they didn't shun profane and vain babblings. And it led to more and more ungodliness. And now, I mean, you probably couldn't even imagine some of the stuff that they're up to now that I've heard. It's disgusting. It's filthy. And it's exactly what we're reading here. So I want you to understand there is a problem with profanity. There is a problem with the profane. The Bible talks about this over and over and over again, and we need to be smarter than this. We need to be able to discern differences, okay? Now, 2 Timothy, next verse here. I want you to see the promise of profanity. The promise of profanity. It says in verse 17, "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." I remember I was having an intense discussion with this guy over Ray Comfort's, Hell's Best Kept Secret. This guy was bringing this into the church. It's this soul winning, soul losing program, basically, where you go around and you just walk up to people and you just ask them, you know, have you ever had a dirty thought? Have you ever said this? Well, you violated all these commandments, and then you're basically trying to get them to repent of all their sins. Right. Well, this guy brought this into an independent Baptist church, right? And he's passing it around, and the deacon's standing there, and I think I've told this story before. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to have to watch that. I was like, that's garbage. That's not what our doctrine is here. You know, so we started getting into a discussion. He says, how dare you, just like that little Swedish girl, right? How dare you? he says, how dare you talk about a man of God like that? I said, he's not a man of God, you know? And I was like, the Bible talks about this over and over again, that we're supposed to call these types of people out. Right. We're supposed to bring this to light. Right. That's the point of the word, right? To bring these things to light, to manifest them and expose them. And he goes, well, I know it talks about exposing Hymenaeus and Philetus. He goes, but you're not Paul. You can't do that. You know, and so I'm sure you can understand where that led to after that. But there you go. In an independent Baptist church, you have a building full of people that have no discernment. Right? Isn't this why God had to send Jonah to Nineveh? Because they couldn't discern their left hand from the right hand? Now, obviously, this is far worse than that situation, because at least in Nineveh, they received the message. Right. You know, at this church, they just blew me off.
Yeah.
You know, and we had to wind up leaving shortly after that. But, I mean, this is a problem today. This is a big problem today for God's people. So I want you to see here the promise of profanity. It says, in their word, right? People who are profane, that everything that comes out of their mouth is garbage. It says, their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. So you need to understand that. When somebody comes in here, they look Christian, they act Christian, they talk the same way. But when you go out there, they're like, look at that ring girl. Oh, isn't she super hot? You need to understand you're dealing with somebody who is a profane, vain babbler, and you're supposed to shun that kind of stuff. Right. And thank God those of you in here who have heard that stuff have. Right? This was the problem that I had with Storm. The first day he ever came in here, right? He started talking like this, and I had to shun him out here. Day one. You know, these people, what they'll do is they'll try to get you alone. They'll try to get you by yourself. They'll throw a little quick jab out there just to see how you react. The quicker that you can shut them down, the less likely you will be, you know, falling prey to them. But the quicker we'll be able to, you know, get them out. Because they can't stop themselves most of the time. They're just going to run around to every single person, which he did. You know, hey, what do you think about this? You know, and they just keep bringing up profane and vain things. And then it brings them to light. But if nobody ever says anything, what happens? It just keeps continuing to grow and manifest itself until they've really rooted down into somebody and then they remove them out of church. Okay? This is a problem. So I just want you to see, there's a promise regarding profanity. If we regard this type of iniquity, it will eat you as does a canker. That's what Paul's saying here. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. So just quick review about profanity. The problem with the profane is it increases to more ungodliness. The problem with the profane is it eats as does it canker. Right? Once you subscribe to this sort of behavior, it is very, very difficult to get it out of your life. Now, the last thing that I want to talk about real quick regarding this matter is the priority of profanity. The priority. Right? And I kind of already talked about this here. Right, we need to understand that there is a priority level. Not everybody who comes in here is going to have their ducks in a row. Okay, we talked about that with a few sermons ago when I preached about what to expect here at this church. And so, one of those things is language. Right, just because somebody comes in here and maybe they say a bad word or something while you're talking, that doesn't mean they're a reprobate. It doesn't mean that they're not saved. It doesn't mean anything like that. It just means they don't know. Right? I mean, this is new to all of us. You know, more or less. Within the last 10 years, I don't think anybody in here has been in a hardcore church like this for 10 years, right? So all of us have room to grow. All of us have, you know, to understand these things. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 5 says, "Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" So are there some things that people just do, you know, that just violate, you know, an ordinance or a law, and it's not that big of a deal? Okay, somebody, you know, says it's not that big of a deal. Okay, it depends on how you use those words, though. That's another thing. You know, when somebody's putting together, you know, a tapestry of cuss words and it's just sick and vile, you need to tell them to shut up.
Yeah.
You know, stop talking, close your mouth. You know, get out of here. But if somebody's just, you know, telling a story about the past and they slip up and say a cuss word, right? Don't get it in your head. Oh, you're the most profane thing. You know, red flag. I need to watch you. You know. Just give them some grace, okay? Because some people just haven't learned yet. It comes with time, right? You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read for you Leviticus chapter 20, verse 3. It says, "And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given his seed to Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." So what do you think's worse? Taking the showbread like David and his men did when they were fleeing from Saul, or burning your child to Molech? Because when you do that, right, when we sacrifice our children, and let's apply this to today. When we take our kids down to the movie theater and we say, okay, Walt, no problem, okay, Mr. Disney, you can educate my child, right? You're sacrificing your kid unto Molech. And what you're doing is you're profaning the name of God, because God's saying, hey, that's my child right there. Those are my people, right? And they've got no discernment. And the world's looking at you saying, well, they say it's okay. It must be okay. And God's saying, no, I'm holy. I told Moses to remove his shoes because the place where he stands is holy ground. The place where you go needs to be holy. You need to stay away from places like that, because it's just going to increase unto more and more ungodliness. Okay? So not all profanity is the same, is all I'm trying to tell you this morning. And we need to understand there is a difference between the holy and the profane. So real quick, I wanted to show you the problem with profanity. What is that? It increases to more and more ungodliness. The promise of profanity, it will eat you as does a canker. This is a promise. This isn't a maybe. This isn't a, oh, perhaps. It will do that. If you subscribe to profane people and you allow them to educate you, you allow their songs to go into your ears, you allow their movies to go to your eyes, it will eat you alive. I promise you. I promise you, 100%. And then I wanted you to see the priority regarding profanity, right? There is an order. Not all sin is equal. Not all iniquity is equal, okay? So just keep that in mind as we go through this. So going back to the title, what is the title of the sermon? Some things that are different are the same. Here's what I'm talking about. Take an alligator and a crocodile, okay? We'll just go real basic here. You know, people like to argue and fight about this online. I think it's hilarious. But, you know, people, they are different, but they're the same kind of animal. I mean, come on, look at an alligator. They'll say, okay, well, the alligator has a U-shaped snout. The crocodile has a V-snout. You know, they are differences like that. But really, they're the same. Would you want to meet one in a dark alley? No, you wouldn't. Would you want to meet one out here in a creek? No, you wouldn't. Why? Because they're both, when they bite you, it hurts. They can both eat you, okay? So really, some things that are different are really just the same, okay? They're the same kind of animal. What about a husky and a Malamute, okay? They're both dogs. They look similar, you know, and then people want to fight. Oh, well, they're different, you know. Well, that's true, they are different, but they're the same kind of animal. Okay. Another one I hear people talk about is Great Britain and the UK. Right, what's the difference there? Well, the UK includes Northern Ireland, right? But whether you say Great Britain or you say UK, they're all the same United Kingdom. They're all the same government. This is ridiculous. Some things that are different are the same, poisonous and venomous. Okay. Well, something that's poisonous, you have to either touch it or eat it, like a poisonous mushroom, right? Or you accidentally scoop them up and eat them. You know, that's poison. That's not venomous. A snake would be a good example of something that's venomous that would inject that poison into you. So there's differences there, but they're both toxic, okay? Now, here's how we can apply this to our lives, right? You have disciples and you have Christians, okay? You know, there's people that are saved. Did you know there's people that are saved that are not disciples?
Yeah.
Did you know there's people that come to this church that are not disciples? I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at them. I'm just telling you the truth. Some things that are different, right, are really just the same. You know, there's Christians that come here that just show up. You know, they don't really apply anything to their lives. Maybe they don't agree with everything, you know, but in their minds, they think, well, I go to Shield of Faith Baptist Church, so I'm mighty like that, or I'm like with this movement, right? Well, in reality, you're not, because you're not really applying the teachings to your life. So we need to understand that some things that are different are really just the same, right? Did you know that you can come here and be just like the world? I've seen it. See it all the time. All the time. What do you think the end result of that's going to be? It's going to be the door, sooner or later. Sooner or later, if you don't continue to purpose in your heart to grow and apply these things to your life, you will leave. And look, I'm not trying to be rude this morning. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm just trying to help you out. This is the point of this sermon, right? Some things that are different are really just the same. So the question you need to ask yourself is, are you different? Are you really different? Are you really holy? Are you really sanctified? Are you really working to separate yourself from the world? Or are you fooling yourself this morning? Are you just here going through the motions? That's the whole point. So let's get on with it here. Kind of a long introduction here. But go to Psalm chapter number 39. I'm sorry, Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter number 37. And while you turn to there, I'm going to read our opening verse to you again, Ezekiel 22:26, which says, "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." Now, the first point that I've got for you this morning is right from the beginning of that verse where it says, "Her priests have violated my law." I want you to understand that. I just want you to understand the severity of the violation of God's law by these priests. The Bible says that we're all kings and priests. Now in Ezekiel, the verse before that says, if you know the story, you know that Judah has been carried away captive. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to this. Ezekiel 22:25 says, "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof." You know, there are people out there that devour souls. There are priests, there are pastors today that their sole mission, their sole goal is to devour souls. The best way that you could do that if you were a devil would be to make things seem the same. Hey, we're just like you. We believe the same thing you do. Oh, you believe in Jesus Christ? I do too. I go to the tabernacle off of Colin Overland over there. Latter-day Saints, we're the same. You see what I'm saying? Though that all that place is an institution of people dedicated to devouring souls. Right? And I think it's funny here how Ezekiel 22:26 says that her priests have violated my law. There is a problem when you can hear a pastor directly violating God's law. Like Josh Tyes, the trendy pastor out of Las Vegas, right, who just wrote this big article a few months ago, just basically attacking the King James only position. There is a person who has violated God's law. Because when you decide to open up one of these Bible versions, right, and you say, this is the Word of God, that just shows that you have no regard for the Word of God to begin with. And second of all, it shows that you have no discernment, and it shows that you're probably, more than likely, a devourer of souls. So I want you to understand and be able to recognize that these people are dangerous. We're never to look at them and say, well, you know, he's just a little bit misguided. Now, there are people out there that are pastors that are just a little bit misguided. But by and large, they're dangerous people for the most part. So you're there in Psalm chapter 37. Look at verse 29. It says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Next verse. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. So look at verse 31 again. It says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So when you hide God's word in your heart, the Bible says you're not going to slide. But think of the opposite of that. If you were to take God's word completely out of your heart and make it a superficial type thing, which is what Christianity has done today by saying that we don't have the original manuscript, so we don't really know what to say or what to preach. Right, what you've done is you have become a priest. You have become a person that has violated God's law. And the result is going to be everything after that statement in Ezekiel 22:26. It's going to be profanity. Everything that Josh Tyes does is profane. Everything. Everything that Todd White does is profane. It's vanity. Everything that John Guy does is profane in vain. Why? Because they have removed the authority of God's law. And the Bible says here in Psalm 37:31, the law of his God, it says the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. This is our goal. You have to have this law in your heart, not just in your mind, right? You need to be able to receive these things. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's what the Bible says. That when we take heed, right, when we understand and we receive God's word into our hearts, then we're going to not only get understanding, but our steps will not slide. We'll be able to understand the differences between the holy and profane. You know, it's kind of like a game. You know, as you progress through a game, it typically gets harder, right? Or you progress through a long, grueling race, it gets harder as you get towards the end, right? The more you do, the harder it becomes. That's kind of like how the Christian faith is. The more knowledge you get, the harder the challenges, you know, can become. There's a lot of things out there, like I said, that are different, but they're really just the same, and we just need to understand that. So the first thing I wanted you to notice here out of Ezekiel was the violation of God's law by the priests and the effects thereof, okay? The effects thereof. When you're dealing with somebody that has no regard or downplays God's word, just realize you're dealing with somebody who's violated God's law, and everything thereafter is going to be profane. I don't care, oh, they're the best speaker in the world, you know, and it makes so much sense. It doesn't matter. They violated God's law. In the verse before, it says there's people out there that want to devour souls, and they're going to take the precious things from you. You know what that means for you? They're going to take your children. They're going to take their hearts. They're going to take your minds. And they're going to take your decisions in the future. They're going to take your rewards. That's what it's saying here. So you can leave your place there and go to, let's see here. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 22. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 22. We're going to look at this verse again. So the second thing I want you to see here is that violators of God's law will put no difference between the holy and the profane. Violators of God's law will put no difference between the holy and the profane. And we kind of seen that in Psalm chapter 37 where it says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom and his tongue talketh of judgment. Right? What does the world today say about judgment? That it's wrong. Yeah. Right? That's why you have the coexist bumper stickers. This is why so many people, when we talk to them out in the community, say, well, you shouldn't judge, you know? I'll never forget, Napa, we were sewing, and that guy came after us, you know, said, I don't like that question. Every once in a while, we'll get somebody who gets upset that we ask them if they know where they're going when they die. And they'll say, well, that's just very judgmental. Well, you better believe it's judgmental. Yeah. You know, I've said this before, too. You wouldn't say that if you were burning alive in a building, or that same person was burning alive in a building and a firefighter came up to the second story window and said, hey, follow me, I'm your only way out. You wouldn't say, well, that's a mighty judgmental statement. That's awfully bigoted. That's awfully narrow-minded. You wouldn't say that. You'd go right on out there. Because why? Because you care about your flesh. You care about your backside, don't you? Right? But when it comes to the spiritual, all of a sudden, well, that's wrong. Right? That's only for God. Only God can judge me. Well, you're right. That's why I came to you, because I follow the word of God. And he sent me here to ask and to discern and to judge whether or not you're really saved. Right. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't come here. Yeah. Right? In the flesh, there's a lot of other things that I'd rather be doing than knocking on your door and getting yelled at all day. Yeah. Right? But because we understand the severity of the situation and the Great Commission, we're going to keep pressing forward and keep on doing that. But what I want you to see here out of Ezekiel 22 is this. Violators of God's law will put no difference between the holy and profane. This is why when you knock on people's doors around here, they're just like, well, you know, who's to say whether or not a Mormon's going to hell? Who's to say? Right? I mean, it's just up to God. You know, I think as long as they just name the name of God, they'll go to heaven. Right? Isn't that Billy Graham's message? Yeah. Robert Schuller's message? As long as you could see the light. Right? Isn't that the message of what, the Masons? Right? Look into the light. I mean, that's what you have here. Look at the verse again. It says in verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. So a person who violates God's law, the hallmark of that individual, of their ministry, of their actual being, is that they will put no difference between the holy and profane. They'll say, I don't see a problem with a Disney movie. I don't see a problem skipping church for a sporting event. I don't see a problem, right, just letting my kids do whatever they want. Somewhere along the line, people that act like that, that make those decisions, are people who have violated God's laws in their minds. This doesn't just apply to the false pastors in our community. The Bible says that we're all kings and priests. And did you know that you can violate God's law too? Yeah. See it all the time. All the time. Right? You get bitter. People just get distraught. They get upset. They get their priorities backwards. They backslide. All of a sudden, they say, I'm just going to violate God's law. I'm just going to go ahead and knowingly do what God doesn't want me to do. And guess what's going to happen? Profane, vain babblings, more ungodliness. That's where it's going to lead you. That's where it's going to increase. Now, I've got some examples. You know, this goes over much better when you have examples. I mentioned this guy before. There's a pastor in Arizona. His name is John Guy. He's a graduate of West Coast Baptist College, right? Led by, what's that guy's name? Paul Chappell. That's right. Thank you.